Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mason Brown, and I'm a senior at Bellevue West High School. For my entire life, I have attended First Pres, and through all of the youth Sundays that I've participated in or watched, this message of Youth Sunday today is the most relatable to me. Sunday school is a very good place for kids to learn about God and be able to take part in activities and mission trips and be able to do things that not everyone gets to participate in. However, there are certain things that I have encountered throughout my life so far that was not taught to me in Sunday school. Perhaps the biggest thing that was not taught to me in Sunday school is how life changes. As I am talking today, think about some of the changes that you have faced in your life. Maybe it is a natural disaster, or maybe it is something that you know is going to happen, but you aren't prepared for it yet. Every day we encounter change. Whether it is what we wear, what we eat, who we talk to, the people we meet, and maybe the most diverse change, the weather. Every day we all wake up to something different. Now, while that is not necessarily something that is taught, it still wasn't something that I thought about in my younger days. Change is something that everyone deals with every day. When I have been in Sunday school, we never really talked about the changes in a person's life every Sunday. Most of the time, it was all butterflies and rainbows and no worries in life at all. However, through life, that is not the case. Everyone has their ups and downs. Everyone has bad days and everyone has great days. But not every day is the same. I have been going to Sunday school for almost 13 years, and while real life was briefly mentioned or talked about, it was not a topic of discussion that I remember had a huge impact on me. When this topic was brought up for our message this year, I knew right away what my message was going to be. A few years ago, the former pastor from this church, Matt Neiman, made the decision to move. This was a very difficult situation for me because I enjoyed listening to Matt talk. He had some very good messages that he shared with us, and I focused a lot on what he had to say. It also affected me greatly because he was the only pastor I ever had. And then in came Mike. When he gave his first sermon, I thought to myself, great, now we're stuck with this guy. He came from New Mexico, he knows nothing about the snow, and he thinks he's hilarious. Now I gotta give it to Mike, because he's on my top 10 list for funniest person I've ever met. But that is not the case when Pastor Matt left. Later today, I'll probably get a talking to by Mike, but that's all right because he'll forgive me eventually. When our congregation heard the news that Matt was leaving, we were all in shock. We didn't know who the next pastor would be, and we didn't have any clue why Matt would leave us. These are the kinds of life changes that they did not teach me in Sunday school. In Sunday school, they didn't tell me that one Sunday I would be listening to my favorite pastor ever, and the next Sunday I would be listening to an old guy with a mustache that likes to walk outside and break a sweat. However, when we encounter these types of changes, we have to look at the bright side. We have to learn to understand things that happen for a reason and that life is ever-changing. Throughout my time at this church and Sunday school, this was by far the biggest change of my life. However, even something that changes inside the church, I was not exposed to in Sunday school. With the arrival of Pastor Mike, I've learned that life changes every single day. I've learned that I need to look at the bright side of the changes and appreciate them. Now, as for Pastor Mike, he isn't that bad of a guy, let's admit it. He's a great pastor, and I'm very fortunate that that change happened in my life. So thank you, because you've made 20-minute-long speeches easy to listen to. And also thank you for paying me to mow your lawn. While being in youth group, I have had multiple opportunities to go on amazing mission trips. Now there is a reason why they are called mission trips. We go on these trips to do a mission. Usually it is to help the homeless or to help people recover from something drastic that happened. Most of the time, the people we are helping have just gone through a life change. One trip that I have memories of is the trip we took to Oklahoma. While we were there, Our goal was to replace the moldy, rotten floor that was inside of a house that had flood damage. The family that we were helping did not have the resources to do the project on their own. For them, their coping mechanism was to just cover up the floor and ignore it. Not only did we help get rid of the unhealthy flooring by replacing it, but they weren't reminded of the flood every time they looked at their floor. With us being there, it helped them to move on from the gross floor that they had. They didn't have to look at it or smell it ever again, so that helped them to be able to move on and deal with the change that they had went through, and to focus on other problems that they had to do to the life change of the flood that they experienced. The changes that people go through in real life can have a great impact on their day, week, month, and even year. Learning to cope with changes that happen on a day-to-day basis is a very important skill that I had to learn mostly on my own. Life changes are something that need to be talked about no matter what, because everyone goes through them and everyone has to deal with them one way or the other. However, what I did learn in Sunday school helped make up for some of the things that I did not learn. Learning about the Bible, Jesus, and all of the stories associated with it helped me to deal with these life changes. For example, one of the more popular stories taught in Sunday school is Jonah and the whale. Excuse me. In that story, Jonah refused to obey the calling of being a prophet. God was not appreciative of his decision. So while Jonah was on the voyage at sea, God created a huge storm which angered the sailors on the boat. The sailors soon realized that Jonah was at fault for the storm, so they threw him overboard. Jonah was then saved by a whale, in which he lived in the mouth of for a few days. Once Jonah got spit onto the shore, he then realized his mistake and became a prophet. God used different ways to help Jonah realize that he needs to accept the change of life of becoming a prophet. So with the stories of the Bible taught in Sunday school, they gave examples of overcoming life changes. I just didn't learn directly how to accept and deal with life changes in Sunday school.
Like Mason said, change is a necessary part of any process. Something that's not often discussed, however, is how the church we've grown up with has changed over time. My name is Maggie, and I've been going to First Presbyterian for about 3 years with my family. Before I moved to Nebraska, I attended a Lutheran church. Services there were definitely different from services here. Communion was only given as intinction, the pastors changed their robes with the church seasons, and the congregation stood up and sat down about every 30 seconds during the services. If a member of our previous congregation were to attend a service here at First Pres, they would definitely be shocked at the differences between the services. However, hundreds of years ago, there was only one church. The traditions and ways of worship were the same all across the board. Today, we sit here in a completely different world. Christians have emerged as people from all walks of life, accepted in the house of Christ. People of different races, ethnicities, sexual and gender orientation are welcome to worship together. Just 50 years ago, church congregations were still segregated. Elected officials and ministers were only allowed to be men. A relative of mine who visited our church a few months ago was surprised that some of the deacons who served communion were female. Confused at first, I remembered that this was likely a standard practice until only recently, because representation in the church has only been a recent change. Another change in the church is the prominence of youth involvement in both services and church government. One of our youth group members, Ash, was elected to serve as an elder to represent the youth. Another great example of youth involvement is what we're doing standing here right now, Youth Sunday. Although youth participation has increased in recent years, stories of children having a voice and provoking change have dated back to biblical times. David stood up against Goliath and fought for his faith. Although he went on to live a somewhat problematic life, which is definitely something they don't teach you in Sunday school, he is remembered as one of the Bible's prominent youth voices. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no one look down on your youth, but be a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." I believe this quote represents what the church youth should be for the congregation, a face of positivity and change for the rest of the world. In July, our youth group will be traveling to Purdue University to meet with over 5,000 other Presbyterian youth from all over the world and all over the country to share our ministry and worship together. These type of large-scale youth gatherings are only a recent occurrence and a prime example of youth involvement taking the spotlight. While we've been taught biblical examples of children and youth stepping forward to make change, we haven't always been given the tools to do it in our own lives. I look forward to the opportunities this summer to come together, worship Jesus, and share and learn about the faith we all share. When the youth return, I hope to be able to share our new ideas and our experiences with the rest of the youth and congregation here at First Presbyterian.
My name is Ash Hudson, and I have been able to call this church home for quite literally my whole life, and this congregation my family for just as long. And from the beginnings of our journey with Christ, we have been taught the golden rule: treat others the way that you want to be treated. Now, this sounds like the perfect mantra for any self-proclaimed Christian. I mean, our whole basis of faith comes down to the kindness and humility of God's only Son. But as we know, we're only human, and some folks' kindness can only stretch so far. In a community full of love and adoration, it's almost impossible to fathom that God's word could be used for anything other than good. But sometimes it is. The word of Christ has been twisted and crumpled into so many variations filled with hate that it's difficult to know what's true and what's not without having to read and decipher every tidbit of the Bible. For example, the Westboro Baptist Church is notorious for using hate slurs and derogatory phrases towards those in the LGBT community. I would hope that these actions would appall any Christian, but as both a Christian and a member of the LGBT community, this hate speech is more than unnerving. Growing up while trying to figure myself out, but seeing these evil, hateful voices preaching the same love-filled word that has been ingrained in me was absolutely terrifying. I was scared that maybe I would no longer be accepted by my church and my congregation once I came out as gay. But fast forward a handful of years later, and I feel like the answer is sitting all around me. I am loved. I am loved by my family, by my friends, my girlfriend, and my congregation. The love that you all give me vastly outweighs the hate a church 1,000 miles away can breathe into the air. What I'm getting at is that we are not them and they are not us. While we are taught that all Christians are amazing people by default and that if you go to church regularly, you must be a good person, it's not always true. But we here are good people, or at least we all strive to be. So no, Sunday school did not teach me all the scary things that Christ's word could be horribly used for, but my Sunday school teachers, my youth group leaders, and this welcoming congregation that I have been lucky enough to grow up with have taught me that those words spoken in hate do not make up true believers. As far as I'm concerned, I am surrounded by the true love of Christ every day with this church, and it is a love that I could find nowhere else.
Hello, my name is Noelle, and I've been going to this church since I was baptized. I went to church with both my parents, and then my parents got a divorce when I was 3 or 4, and my dad, John, remarried and went to a different church. Every other weekend, I had to go to the other church with John, but I felt more at home with this church, my church. I learned about God in Sunday school and church, and I was taught that what it took to be a good person was going to church and Sunday school, and wow. I also learned that good people went to church, bad people would skip. As I grew up and learned that some people were seriously messed up in the way they thought about God, I also learned that John had radically different beliefs from what I was taught here. John told me that this church was a bad church. I wasn't learning about God correctly. I wasn't worshiping about God correctly. And I wasn't praising God correctly. In 5th or 6th grade, he actually told me I was going to hell because I came to this church. In middle school, he wouldn't let me attend school events, sporting events, let alone any church activity that dealt with this church that fell on his weekend. My freshman year, Bellevue West did a marching band routine called On Pins and Needles. I think a lot of you might have seen it. John was calling and threatening the school and trying to force me to stop band because he said that show was worshiping the devil. My stepmom was even worse about it. They put a lot of pressure and strain on me, which was difficult at 14. I'm a people pleaser, and I didn't want to make them mad, but I really wanted to stay in band and be with my friends. I danced ballet for 6 years, but had to quit because my lessons were on Tuesday nights, and he wouldn't take me to my classes. All of these pressures were compounded by the fact that he kept telling me I wasn't believing in God the right way. Or sometimes it felt like he was saying I didn't even believe in the right God. Like I said earlier, I am a people pleaser, and hearing such radically different ideas about God really made me question what I believed. I started having to really decide what I thought about God and what I thought he thought about me. In the Bible, it talks about fearing God, and John always talked about it in a negative way. When I started thinking about it, I felt that you're not afraid of God. It's more of a respect than a scary thing. Dealing with the pressures of all of this, I had to find my own way and beliefs in the church. It was hard to do. He would always try to have us get baptized in this church. I tiptoed around the subject because I didn't want to disappoint him, but I didn't want to get baptized again, and especially in that church. I was getting two different stories about the same God, and if I believed, as I was taught, that good people go to church, why would two good church-going people tell me such different things? I talked to Pastor Mike and Shelley and other youth leaders and friends. I told them what he was saying to me and felt safe opening up and trying to figure out what was real and what my faith really was. I grew a stronger faith because I had to stand up for myself and really decide what I believed. I know I will always have this church, and they will always be there for me, and they helped me realize that God is a loving and forgiving God, not a scary person I should be afraid of. I learned that I am loved by this church, and no matter what, this church has my back.
My name is Morgan Brown, and I have been a part of this church for as long as I can remember. Going to Sunday school and church was a part of my weekly routine. What to wear, how to behave, and attendance were all very strict requirements in God's house. I learned what all young children learned at Sunday school, including Noah and his ark, David slaying Goliath, and Jonah and the whale that swallowed him whole, and even the original stories on how Christmas came about. To me, everybody mentioned in the Bible, even briefly talked about, were heroes. They were saints, the real followers of God. We have put these people on pedestals, but we have learned that they are all flawed. They all sinned, but God forgave them and used them to spread his word. Our expectation of perfection is flawed. Dresses, maybe the occasional wearing of a nice skirt, was acceptable with little white socks with ruffles and matching black shoes. Now, if you didn't wear the appropriate attire, it was almost as if your whole church family was looking at you with judgment all over their faces, even though they tried to hide it. But God is accepting of everyone, right? There is no room for judgment. Church is a loving place where everyone, no matter what, has your back without hesitation. But is this realistically the truth? We are so concerned with what people are wearing or what they look like when their purpose is to come to church and worship like everybody else. We focus too much on what is appropriate and what is not, instead of noticing that we are here trying to praise the Lord together. We show up to church. We participate in leadership activities such as donating and helping others. We travel in the hopes of reaching out to people that are less fortunate or in need. So why are we focusing the attention of things that do not matter? To this day, I still hesitate to put on a pair of jeans and would never even dare to wear holy jeans to church service. I believe that God is always going to be accepting of who you are, no matter your appearance, but sometimes I question if my peers are just as accepting. I have always wanted to impress the church and live up to their high standards. Therefore, I would dress like everybody else to fit into the crowd. While reading my Bible, I came across the scripture of 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? This scripture is meant to draw us closer to trusting God. Look at today. We have allowed prayer to be taken out of schools, and even in songs in choir class, there are a good amount of songs that we are demanded to bypass because they use such terms as holy or Christ to avoid the risk of offending others. We silence ourselves from spreading God's word because we are afraid and scared of judgment. Another scripture that has spoke to me is Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. God is forgiving of all our sins, and that has followed me during my lifelong experiences. We all have a purpose in coming to church, and that is to hear the preachings of our Savior together as a church family. Let's focus our attention on Him, for He is the one that sacrificed everything for us. My youth leader shared a story with me about a girl that was a little younger than me. She got pregnant. She was concerned to share her pregnancy with the congregation and her youth group and scared about their opinions. It took all of her courage and bravery to go in front of the church and tell them about her pregnancy. With God by her side, she knew that no matter what, everything would be okay, and it was. Her youth group rallied behind her, even though others immediately judged her. God says He will not leave us, and she saw God through her youth group when they did not leave her. This happened here in our church. I was afraid to bring up this topic this morning. I am guilty of being judgmental. I have stared and wondered about how my peers go about presenting themselves, but who am I to judge? We are human beings and we make mistakes. I am not perfect in any way, nor is anybody else. Only in a certain way should I care what people think of me today, as long as I stand for Jesus Christ. And with the guidance of the Bible and God, will I be what God wants me to be and not what someone else wants me to be? I will take a direct stand in what I believe in. It may cause consequences, the loss of friends, and people will judge me in any angle of my life. But as long as it brings glory to God, then I will do it. Don't get me wrong. Everything I have learned in Sunday school has taught me morals, respect, and enlightened me about the true meanings behind scriptures. I have been blessed with an amazing church family and all who has partook in my church education. But this is a judgment-free zone, and that is what Sunday school says. But is that our reality? There's a hymn that says, all are welcome in this place. I hope we will all make this our reality.